I was like, hey, can you please go wash your feet and get naked and lay on the bed?
I genuinely feel like I've got like clitorises on the bottoms of my soles. I can genuinely have like full body orgasms from just foot stimulation. It's insane. Foot fetishes are perverts. There's a fetish for snot.
Can you have a person fetish, or is that just an obsession then?
My first relationship, I never took my socks off. In like a year and a half relationship, he
Oh,
never
yeah.
saw my feet. I'm living like the best foot life. Tell my butthole that I love it, you know?
Welcome to the O Collective Just Like You podcast, where Diana, Wingsy, Simona, and Eden, as third culture kids, we were never taught about intimacy, relationship, and sex. That is precisely why we created the O Collective. Listen along to hear from your big sisters about sex, intimacy, relationships, and health.
Today, we're speaking with Reed Amber, a sex educator and presenter. She's the co-founder of Come Curious and host of the award-winning Fucksgiving podcast that has reached over 2.5 million downloads. We're massive fans of her super down-to-earth sex education content, making all things taboo normal. Let's welcome Reed.
Oh, there we go.
Hello.
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 Hey.
Hello.
Hello. How are you both?
Good. We were just talking about feet, and we went into a massive, what is it, rabbit hole of feet on Google, looking
Why?
up,
Why?
because we both have Greek toes, which means that your second toe is larger than your first toe, and we were just curious about what the meaning is of that. And just FYI, it means that you have a long life, or other cultures believe that women with long second toes were bad tempered and would control their husbands.
Oh my God,
That's it. That's
stop.
Eden and me. Or in the practice of psychic foot readings, readers interpret a long second toe as a sign of leadership ability or royal ancestry. Could also be true.
I
But
love it.
yeah.
I love it. That's so interesting you were talking about feet because I just had a fuck last night that was like all foot related. It was so good.
Oh,
Yeah.
elaborate.
Oh, it's this guy that I'm kind of fucking at the moment, and he's got like the exact same like fetishes and kinks, and he's into like really fucked up shit and like also into feet, and I'm like massively into people playing with my feet. So yeah, it was just insane. I'm a bit like disheveled this morning, like, oh my God, I have to go back to normal life right now. Like
How long does that last?
he was great. We fucked a lot. We like it's like a whole session of we went to an exhibition and then came back, and it was like a lot of like foot play and tickling and like fooling around, and then we like fucked twice in the year, then fucked again before he went today.
Wow.
It was good,
That
but
sounds
like
great.
I really enjoy my feet being stimulated
Yeah,
during sex. It's like the
that we knew. We
best.
talked about
Yeah.
it during the panel, and then it was why we went into this rabbit hole. It was like, oh, we need to do some research. And then
And on the
Eden
feet.
actually, yeah, on the feet.
So
Eden
you really
actually,
inspired
yeah.
me. And so today I was
Oh,
like, I'm so excited for this podcast. I
my
was
God.
working at a coffee shop and I was like, you know what? I need to pack my shit and just go home and have my foot played with. And so I
Oh
came.
my God, yes.
Thank God my husband is home. I was like, hey, can you please go wash your feet and get naked and lay on the bed? I'll wash my
Oh,
feet too. So yeah,
it's so.
trying. It was my favorite
Yes.
exercise. So thank you very much for like inspiring me to try playing with my feet.
Yeah, honestly, it's such an untouched area. They're an erogenous zone. I genuinely feel like I've got like clitorises on the bottoms of my soles. If it's done the right way, once I get rid of the shame and like, oh, my feet, then it's like I can genuinely have like full body orgasms from just foot stimulation. It's insane.
Oh, but you do have shame around your feet first. You
Of
need to overcome that
course.
first.
Yeah. Like, I
Oh.
mean, feet are seen as like weird and perverted, like all the foot fetishes are perverts. And so
Yeah.
even I hated my feet most of my years, you know, like thinking that they were like there was something wrong with them or they're ugly or gross. I always hid my feet away from everyone, especially because feet, you get loads of shit as a kid, you know, you get like
Yeah.
athlete's foot and you get verrucas, and I mean I had it all, and I just used to hate my feet. I remember my first relationship, I never took my socks off in like a year and a half relationship. He never saw my feet like that. That's so sad. And then I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, like there's such like an untapped erogenous zone. And now I'm living like the best foot life, you know?
Like I was just telling Eden that I don't think I'm a feet person. Like, again, you're brought up with the shame around it. And I was talking about my parents that they grew up in China and they didn't have any shoes. Dad and mom, they have really bad feet. And my mom taught me from as a kid onwards that feet are really dirty. She made me wash my face and brush my teeth every evening, but also wash my feet. Like not a shower, but wash your feet. So I'm like, nah, I can't touch feet. Like that's not my thing. But maybe I should just overcome that shame first.
Yes, because once you realize that it's not just this perfect idea of feet that's what's attractive, you know, like pedicured, perfect toes, never smells. I mean, yes, I've met foot guys that are into that, but most of the foot guys that are into foot fetish stuff, they're into like smelly feet, dirty feet. They want feet in socks. They want feet in tights. The guy I was with last night, he was like sniffing my feet and he was like, I love that they get sweaty and I want them to smell. And I was just like so into it, like fucking yes.
Oh my God, I would love to overcome that shame because for me, it's just like, oh my God, he's going to smell my feet. It's dirty. Mm-hmm. I wore heels when I was a teenager. So there are these like, what's it called? Like extra skin on my feet. It's just ugly. And I feel like every time they look at my feet, they'll get turned off.
Yeah. And then, that's just not true. They will be like hundreds of people out there that love your feet, that specifically love the way that your feet look. You know, like there are so many different subcategories to foot fetish. Like, you know, small feet, big feet, men's feet, women's feet, like pedicured, specific toenail colors. There's just everything. It comes in all different shapes and sizes. So like the version of feet that you think might not be attractive, somebody else would die for your feet, you know?
Quick question. What do you think of runner's feet? So because my boyfriend is a runner and he is, do you know what runner feet are?
No. Is that just like, tell me, give me the goss.
So he runs marathons, ultra marathons. So he runs a lot. So his nails, they break off, they get blue. There's like so much. What is it called? The extra skin that gets hard.
Like calluses or bunions. Calluses.
It's like so many calluses on it. Like that's runner feet. They just look very ugly. Runners are known for having really ugly feet because you just make a lot of kilometers on it. Mm-hmm. And they accepted the fact that they just have ugly feet. So
my heart
breaks. Call it ugly, but it's just like, it's not our feet, like the perfectly manicured feet. He just has runner feet. Yeah. So
I think of
runner feet?
If it turned him on for me to play with his feet, then I don't think that would stand in my way. Ooh. I would obviously like it if he took care of his feet, you know, if anyone took care of their feet. And if it, you know, if he was like, look, like I recognize my feet aren't looking the best at the moment, but I'm going to go get like a pedi. I'm going to go sort this out. And I really love my feet being played with or stimulated at the same time. Then you just overlook it. It's not even something you think of, like you're giving your partner pleasure and something that they want. But it's the same with like anything that you're attracted to. There will be parts of your partners that you're not necessarily in love with, but you just overlook them because the rest of it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see what you mean. The runner's feet thing. But I also
think
it's like
a picture of runner feet. I'll send you a picture of my boyfriend's feet. Just to check in with you.
I'll pay up, you know, make sure.
No, they're for free. They're for free.
Oh, that's so kind.
This is the first time I think you're meeting Eden. Eden is she's Hi. Tuning in from Bangkok.
Oh, hi, amazing. Hello, Eden. You both look so incredible as well. Like, it's so nice.
We put on some makeup. We're like, oh yeah. There's a video here, so we need to put on some blush and we need to look representable.
Look fancy. I did the opposite. I literally swear to God, I rolled out of bed, still like fucked out from all this dick I've been getting, and then being like, oh shit, I got a podcast on. Oh god, and, like, rambling.
But you look amazing. You have a feet glow.
You have a glow.
It's the fuck glow. It's like the good satisfactory sex glow, which I find really hard to get. Finding satisfactory sex and all of my needs met, I find really hard. But I found someone who's meeting my needs.
Congratulations. Wait, how did you guys meet?
On the dating app Field. It's only app that I use. Yeah.
Everybody is using it now.
Yes. Everybody. Every time I'm back on Hinge, I'm like, these people are so basic. I cannot. Field is just like a really good kind of like there's loads of creative people on there. It's very kink friendly. People are extremely honest about what they want, which is perfect for me because I'm just like, I need this, 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 and this. And if you can't make this, then fuck off. Like, we're not going to click. I mean, Field, the app is fucking buggy as shit, but it's the best place that I meet people. Like, yeah. Good people that know how to fuck, know how to communicate, kinky, open to trying new things. Yeah. I mean, I sound like I'm a motherfucking advert for Field, but... they are not sponsoring me, just to say, but it's the best app that I've found anyway.
Yeah.
I've heard the same.
I love that. Also, it's like almost like meeting people at a BDSM party. I've like been to a party and this guy came up and introduced himself. He was like, hi, I am 40% Dom and 60% sub. I am from
North
Carolina. I went to this university and I like to get spanked. I was like, oh, thank you very much. My boyfriend is here, but this is my other friend you should be.
That's why I love kink spaces so much. People are just so forthcoming and open and blunt about things, and there's not much pussyfooting around, because if your kinks don't align, then there's almost like no point wasting your time. So it's people are just like, this is me. It sounded like he literally gave you a verbal dating profile, which is cute. That's cute. I would respect that. I don't know if like culture is the same, but like in England, the people are just so wishy-washy and polite and like don't want to hurt people's feelings, but then communication is fucking difficult. Over in European, especially Scandinavia, people are motherfucking blunt and they say it how it is. And there's like, you know, there's not that much ghosting. I ended up having sex a couple of years ago with a guy from the Netherlands, and in the middle of fucking, he was just like, oh, hey, like, I'm not really feeling this. Can we just stop and have a break? And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for stopping. Because people just don't do that. I was in awe. I was like, we need to take more leaves out of their book and just be like, this isn't working for me. Let's stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take away the acting.
Yes, exactly. And we're so good at acting, especially from porn. Oh, my goodness. Porn has, like, made us all act, like, fake it. In the bedroom, I'm guilty of that. Like when you think of an orgasm, you think of like the stereotypical American moan, which is like, oh yeah. It's like, that is, and it's like, well, that's not me. That's not me.
You know that I didn't even watch porn, but somehow I didn't know how to act that out. I don't know where I learned that from. How?
Like, it's like, you know, I didn't learn it from through culture or like movies or something. But yeah, that's crazy. It's all this like really over the top fake. Oh my God. Like, it's just nobody sounds like that. Well, people do sound like that, but what's hotter is when you sound real, is when you sound like you're not on a porn
coming
set.
Out of you.
Yeah. Guttural and like screaming and like, fuck, you know, like that's what's sexy, rather than like, oh my God, this feels so good, I'm gonna come, you know, like,
but they will also know that. They will also know, right? Yeah. I would think that the other person, I don't know. I would think that they would know, that they'll notice.
Okay, just a random side question.
All right, okay.
Oh, we keep getting sidetracked, but like, why?
We haven't even gotten to the questions that we had lined up, but okay.
Yeah, why don't they ever like make, well, like in porn, they never feature the men when they orgasm, nor do they like zoom in the sound the men makes. Like,
it's really frustrating. Mm. It's very much male gaze. A lot of porn is very male gaze because they genuinely thought that it was only dudes that watch porn, or only dudes that paid for porn, and then women and other genders just didn't want to pay for that kind of porn. They didn't want to look at that kind of porn.
Jokes on them.
I know. It's so frustrating. And this is why I'm trying really hard to watch more ethical porn, because it gives a varied view of everyone involved, instead of just focusing on the woman. You know, it's like it's normally like a headless dick, right? That like is fucking in the moment. Occasionally you cut away and see the dude, but it's just like a faceless penis. Although last night, the guy I was sleeping with, he did say, which really made me think, he was like, yeah, I don't really like it when I see the guy, because it means I can't put myself in his place and imagine myself there. I like it when I don't see his face, because then I can more likely imagine it's me. And I was like, wow, that's fascinating. Never thought of it like that before. The face is important. it must be to do with sexuality. And yeah. I know that a lot of dudes are maybe uncomfortable with looking at men's faces coming, but like, I want to see a dude's face coming. It's so beautiful and pretty. Yeah. And I want it like grotesque and all over the place and like really like animalistic. I don't want it to be like, oh, I want it to be like they're going crazy. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, believable. I can see this now. Mm.
Did you have that last night?
Love that moment when they look so vulnerable. It's just like,
oh, so
can do anything to them. And they're like,
yeah, yeah. So I'm like at the end, when whoever I'm fucking is coming, I don't really want to see the cum shot. I prefer that inside me. I want to see the man's face. I want to feel the body. I want to hear them. Hearing them is so important. And every time I'm with someone that doesn't make lots of noises, I'm like, you know, like I love it. It's always positive encouragement is the way forward. I love hearing you make moans and groans and just feel free because I want to hear that guttural, like, oh my God, like screaming. And some people it's are like very, very silent. Yeah. Yeah. Like, come join me in this. And plus orgasms feel better when you allow yourself to scream.
Try it
at home. That isn't science. I can't like bring some science here, but try it at home when you're masturbating and you have an orgasm. And I know it's difficult, especially if you're lying next to partners or if you're in a house with people, but I'm really trying to allow myself to vocalize when I'm orgasming on my own. And it does feel so much better. It's like another type of release. Mm. It's so incredible. Honestly, give it a go.
It's different from the little moan.
Yeah, when you're just
the little moan versus that one. It's not that.
You're like, so you really
have to go.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to think how I sound. I'm just, yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I actually swear, and I'm like, oh fuck, oh shit, yeah. But it's not that loud, you know. It's probably about that kind of volume, but I'm trying to get out of my uncomfortable, like, oh my God, the neighbors are gonna hear, you know.
Trying to just
enjoy the orgasm,
enjoying the moment.
They do
giving all of that to yourself. Yeah,
okay, for me anyway,
I'm ready to try this on.
So much better. Yeah, like just plan it when maybe you've got the house alone and you're not worrying about people coming home, or yeah, if you live on your own, just go for it and yeah, let it all out.
Oh, that's a release. I see it as a release, definitely. Mm,
mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. It's like in the yoga when it's just like, ah, and you like really release it out. It just feels so good.
We'll do an icebreaker. Okay, Reed, what are your top three fetishes?
Oh my God, that's so easy.
Good question. Yeah.
This is in order of priority as well. Tickling, C&C, which is consensual, non-consensual, and bondage. Those are my top three fetishes.
C&C is so popular these days. I don't know, like it's been on the rise. I was geeking out on Google Trends and I just see that a lot of people are looking for C&C these days.
What does that mean? So it's C&C, and again, trigger warning for anyone. C&C is basically role play. So it's forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do, but they actually want to do it. So C&C stands for consensual, non-consensual, which is, it's a better term for it is ravishment fantasy. Because again, like obviously using the other R word, that can be quite difficult for some people to hear. So C&C is kind of like the across the board term for playing around with power, with role play, with yes and no and limits and safe words. And it's something that I have always been into ever since I can remember, ever since I was into tickling, ever since I was into bondage. Like, I'm thinking about little, like 11-year-old me being really over fascinated when in cartoons you're seeing someone tied up and you're like, I was like, what is this? Why do I feel these feelings? It's not for everybody. It really isn't. But yeah, it is becoming more popular. I think people are becoming more open about what they want and what turns them on. And of course, it is problematic. There are a lot of conversations and gray areas around CNC. But when you are talking about it in a kink friendly space, when you are very open to communication, when you're doing the before chat, the during chat, the after chat, the checking in constantly, and you're not just looking at verbal cues, you're looking at the way that somebody's body is, you know, communication isn't just verbal. Communication is also like looking at somebody's eyes, mm-hmm. hearing somebody's tone, hearing somebody's moans, looking at their body. You have to be really clued in and really aware that they're enjoying it the entire time, because mm-hmm. enjoying it from 1 minute can completely change to the next minute. Trust is important. But I'm not saying trust, like, you can't play around with this on the first date, because I do that a lot. I'll go on a first date and I'll fuck someone on the first date because, you know, I always fuck before I date people.
Love that. That's yeah.
Just my my rule. Trying to try it around the other way at the moment, which is really weird. But yeah, we'll get to that. And yeah, fuck before the first date. And while I'm on the date, I normally ask them this question, like, hey, what are your thoughts around CNC? What are your thoughts around role play? Bondage. I get it out there in the open because it's so important to me. It's so integral to my pleasure that I kind of get a read from their reaction, you know, if they're like,
so if they would not be into it, would you still date them?
I don't think so. They have to have an open mind. If they say, no, that's not my thing, that would be, yeah, I wouldn't date them. I don't even think I would fuck them. But if they're open to it, if they're like, yeah, that idea, yeah, it's pretty hot. Okay. I'll give that a go. Then I can work with it. But what I'm looking for is experienced people or people that are into it, people that watch that kind of thing in porn, because they just kind of have a better knowledge of it. And what I found is that most people, actually pretty much everyone into CNC, have been so respectful and so on it when it comes to boundaries, communication, consent. What worries me is the doms, the ones that's like, I'm a power top dom, I'm dominant, and that's it. Those are the guys that worry me. I'm like, are you a real dom? Are you a fake dom where you're like, I'm really powerful and I'm going to just slap you around and hit you and mistreat you and not actually respect you and ask if you're okay and give you the aftercare that you need? That's going around a lot at the moment. I see it so much. It's all these like, I call them fake doms because it's just like they're pretending to be dominant, but they're like, no, I will never be submissive. You will never make me do anything. I am the one that makes the rules. I am the one that has control. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to be a successful dom, you should at least try being submissive. And also in that space, the submissive is the one that has the control, because you will never do anything that goes past their limits. You will never do anything that they do not want you to do. So I think it's really dangerous, and there needs to be a lot more conversations around, you know, power play and subdom roles. Anyway, I went off on a tangent, sorry.
No, it's super interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. I'm also really curious, and probably for some of our listeners here, like, you know, you shared that you have top three fetishes. The first one is tickling. The second one is CNC. And then the last one is bondage.
Yes. So yes, indeed.
What is a fetish? And like, does everyone have fetishes?
So not everyone has fetishes. They're actually quite rare for women compared to men. Loads more men have fetishes than women do, because men's arousal is mainly based on visuals, which is super interesting. Mm-hmm. A kink and a fetish are two different things. I think we bundle them up together, and I'm guilty of doing this. It's the same with, like, you know, like, oh, BDSM, that's kind of like everything. A kink and a fetish are very different. So a kink is just an uncommon turn on. You know, you could take it or leave it. Maybe you're with a partner and they're into spanking and you enjoy that spanking with that partner, but then you go to the next partner and they show you the world of pantyhose, tights, and you're like, okay, that's really hot. You go through phases, or maybe that's something that you enjoy all the way through your life. A fetish, on the other hand, is way more integral to your psyche. It's way more prominent. A fetish for someone who has one is basically the only way that they can achieve arousal and get off. It often or not comes from adolescence, from childhood, from maybe an experience or a situation or something you've seen or come across. From there, turns into an obsession. And as you go through puberty, you realize it becomes a turn on. So a person with a fetish will generally only really think about that when they're masturbating, or watch that in porn, or seek that out. The other interesting thing about fetishes is that it's either a body part, an action, or an item, like an object.
Yeah.
And that most of them are non-sexual. Actually, I would say all of them are non-sexual. So it's like a non-sexual body part, action, or item.
So, but you, so a foot fetish revolves around a foot. So you can have a fetish around, like a little obsession about feet. Can you also have a, foot kink?
Yes. So a foot kink, I think a lot of people could have foot kinks. You could just be like, oh, that sounds really sexy. Let me give that a go.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. You don't necessarily need to think about feet or have your feet stimulated or touch or touch other people's feet. To come, but a foot fetish, they will always think about feet. They could look at a picture of a foot and be turned on and be like, oh my god, it's almost like involuntary, the reaction. And it's the exact same for me with tickling. Tickling was something that I enjoyed when I was younger, and it turned into a secret for me. It was secret for so many years. I didn't tell anyone. I repressed it because I thought it was so weird. There was so much shame and like confusion around my tickle fetish. And it wasn't until I was older that I was like, holy fucking shit. That is the thing that I think about when I masturbate, that I look up in porn, that I'm obsessed with, that I long for, especially because it's not easy, but you can repress your fetishes because of, for fear of shame, or maybe you're with a partner that's like, oh no, I don't like that. And then you never bring it up again, but you're still there thinking about it and wondering and feeling unsatisfied.
I am wondering then, because I'm that person that does not have a fetish, but I do wonder, do I maybe somewhere have a suppressed fetish? How did you find out? Or did you ever do a test? Or like, I'm curious about it. Like, how would I find out?
Oh God, I wish there was a test. That would be so interesting.
The BDSM King test?
That's a fun test to do, but I don't know how legitimate that test is. And I don't think it would be able to show if someone has a fetish. I honestly feel like if you have a fetish, you kind of know. There's been that one thing or several little things that have just like uncontrollably turned you on throughout your life. For example, feet, or for example, messy fetish. So like food, sploshing, getting like involved in custards and cakes and creams. And that will be the thing that maybe you just don't tell anyone about, you're embarrassed of. It's so hard to try and figure out if it's a fetish or not.
Yeah, I'm visualizing food right now because I really love food. I'm like, maybe I have a hidden food fetish. And I was just trying to think of food. And then I put food next to sex. I'm like, no, it's not that I would like get turned on by food. I would just opt for food instead of sex. I think that's... that's different. That's different.
I think it's almost like having a fetish is something that you can't deny, that you can't run away from, that's always there. But it can just take a long time to really embrace it. And the more you embrace it, the more you will feel enjoyment and sexual pleasure and gratification with sex. I was so unsatisfied for so many years of my life, until I finally was like, no, I'm into this. I want this. And then I was like, huh, this is me. Once I finally accepted my fetish, I felt like I finally accepted myself as a whole, which is really, really hard to do. There's just so much shame around it. Lots of people are stigmatized as perverts, as weirdos, especially if it's that one thing that gets you off. Like, for example, latex. You know, you might have a latex fetish and everything to do with latex is a turn on. So the smell of it, the look of it, you think of it, you look at pictures online, you think about people in latex, you want to be in latex. The whole world is almost like your whole sexual world is consumed by that thing or several things. But I've been recently finding out it doesn't necessarily have to come from adolescence, which I didn't realize. It can start off from somewhere. I knew I was kind of different from the rest. I was looking at torture websites when I was a kid. You know, like, we're talking like torture. We're talking like medieval, back in the day, cages. And I was like fascinated. I can't stop looking. I don't know why I can't stop looking. I know that this is bad. I know that this, no one's enjoying it. There's no pleasure here, but I just still can't stop watching it. I couldn't figure out what it was. And it wasn't until later that it sort of developed into, the more I looked into it, the more I realized I liked the bondage side of things. I liked the control side of things, but I didn't like the pain side of things. Now for other people, they love the pain. You know, I've watched people literally orgasm from being whipped and spanked. Just from being whipped and spanked. It's one of those, you kind of have to do a deep dive in your psyche. The more research you do within this, the better you feel about it. It helped me so much to understand why I feel the way I do. It was really life-changing.
Would you say that fetish is what makes you, like, that image or like that thing you have in your head or whatever thing you see is what gets you off, like literally what makes you orgasm? Do you think it's that thing? Because like what you have inspired me is there is always an image, and I don't think I've ever told anyone this. Okay, so here, like, I have reenacted in a role play once before, like just verbal cues with my husband. I think I have a thing for like out of panty penetration, like that's a fetish. It's just like something about someone touching, the idea of someone touching me outside of my panty, just like the idea of that, the thought of it, the image of it, like just reimagining that, just like I can't
that's the thing that gets you going.
I'm like, yes, I'm there. So
That's fascinating. It's definitely worth doing a deeper dive on, because like, what is it about that you enjoy? Is it clothes on? Is it the specific underwear? Is it the texture of the underwear, the fabric of the underwear? Is it kind of like a barrier between your actual vulva and that? There's, honestly, you could do so much of a deep dive, because fetishes and kinks, they are so diverse and there's so many different subcategories that ping off everywhere. But if that's the thing that every time you masturbate or you want to orgasm or you're with your partner and you think about that over and over again, that could very well be a fetish. Very well.
And also, maybe it could be like a consensual, non-consensual thing. I like, now you're I'm like, that could be that, because
when it's just like, oh, stop touching me there, don't touch me there, but like, oh my god, I love this so much. That sounds so good.
Oh,
so
you just hot. Discovered something here today, Ida. Yeah. You're into CNC.
Yes, yeah. Maybe it's worth exploring. Maybe, you know, ask. I don't know if your partner's down, but asking your partner, would you mind? Like, let's play around with this. Let's explore this. I'm going to wear these panties. Don't go underneath unless and then I'm going to say things like, no, stop. Like, we shouldn't do this. This isn't for me. Oh, no, I don't like this. You know, but keep going. Put in your safe word. You're like, pineapple. If I say pineapple, stop. Gone too far. But, it could be so much fun to play around with it. You just have to. Yeah, I have to do it like bit by bit, baby steps. You don't have to go in fully. It doesn't have to be like a whole role play scenario. Yeah. It could just be.
Or maybe it does. Maybe you do.
Yeah, that also does help get you into the character. Yeah. So exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's props to you. Like, I think you've inspired me to do quite a lot today, like front feet to explore, to like understanding my fetish.
I think also what would define it not being a fetish is if maybe it's not something you have to think about to get arousal. You know, if you can think about other things. But I don't know, maybe I'm taking this back, because a long time when I was repressing my fetish, I would get off on similar things like bondage and CNC, but I would tickling for some reason I was so ashamed of, even though it's such a normal, harmless, non-sexual act. I said, okay, let me take that back. Let me take the harmless back. I do not condone any non-consensual tickling. Like, that makes me feel extremely uncomfortable. For me, it's very intimate, even though that's what I, in my spare time, like, I watch on porn and I enjoy that in porn. I'm not condoning anyone to tickle somebody if they really don't fucking like it, because it can be traumatic. It can be horrible for the other person. I mean, that's half the reason why I like it, is because it's probably like super intense. It's overwhelming. It's like voluntary. There's so many things I love about it, but it's not for everyone. Tickling is not for everyone. Same with CNC and bondage. Got to put the disclaimer in there, you know, just in case.
Yeah. Are there any good or bad fetishes?
There's a lot of debate and a lot of gray area with good and bad. I don't think any person is bad for having a fetish, most of the time, because it's out of their control. But there are fetishes that can be very difficult to have, that can cause harm to themselves and harm to other people. For example, I was speaking to a dominatrix, and one of her clients, the fetish that he had was to be forced to make himself sick. And that was his fetish. That was like what the thing that got him off. And because he had been doing that so many years, his gag reflex was really strong. Oh. He'd be harming his throat, harming his teeth. Some people don't want their fetish. Sometimes a fetish can be really horrible and disruptive and destructive to have, especially if you're in a relationship. You know, there are so many fetishes. Like some of the most interesting ones I've heard is like people being pushed down the stairs. Imagine having that as a fetish. That's gonna suck balls. So there was, when I was on the babe channels, when I was doing my little call me, there was a guy that used to call me that would want me to mime and mimic me straddling him and stabbing him in the heart.
What?
And that's what he loved. That's what he wanted. He wanted me to stab him so many times and watch the life drain away from his eyes. And imagine having that. That's the one thing that gets you off. That's the one thing that you enjoy.
And then you want to enact it as in real life. Ooh.
Yeah, you can never reenact that. You can never, I mean, kind
did,
of like.
What did you do it? Animals,
no, not in real life. It was just
no,
like.
No, but I mean, on the phone, like, how do you, like.
Yeah,
you,
I was just.
I feel like you're surrounded. Are you in your room or you're in a call center surrounded by other people? Yeah, and then you need to reenact it.
I would just straddle and just be like, yeah, like, so the screen's there, you're watching me on the TV and I'm there like, yeah, you like that, you love that. And they're hearing me on the phone, in the heart, you know? And he would just be like, oh, you're so good at that. You know, there are other easier things to have fetish for, like high heels, particular type of high heel. But imagine you have a turn on for like car crashes, you know, that film Crash? It's a very real fetish that people have, and they want to see car crashes. Bad fetish is not right. Maybe
dangerous.
Maybe there is no bad fetish. There is no bad person that has a fetish, but there can be serious complications with your fetish, especially if you can't find anyone to play with. They are endless. I honestly believe it's like a Rule 34 thing where it's like, if it exists, there is porn of it. If it exists, there is a fetish of it, I'm sure.
Probably. There's so many people in the world, probably one person in the world who likes it. Doesn't matter what they're into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also really like watching pimple popping.
Yeah, but is it sexual?
What, does it turn you on?
Is it sexual?
Does it turn you on? Yeah.
No, but it's really good.
Feels really good. It's the same with like ASMR. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that makes us feel really good. Yeah. And we can be obsessed with stuff, but it's if you're watching pimple popping and you're like about to come. Like you feel your pussy like clenching, you feel yourself getting wet, then like maybe it's worth exploring, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's question.
Sorry. I was gonna say real quick, that reminded me, there's a fetish for snot, like snotting in people's mouths. I mean, not to kink shame.
Yeah, not, no, we shouldn't shame. No, judgment there. Like, if you like it, you like it.
Yeah. I mean, I still have a problem with spit. Someone spits in my mouth, I'm like, I can't.
I think that's, for me, it's just like, you can spit anywhere, but just not my mouth or my face. Like, that's just spit everywhere, but.
Yeah.
I want to spit in your mouth. That's the entire thing, no?
Yeah.
They want to spit in your mouth.
Yeah, they want to like spit swap. It's a power play. You know, it is hot. I just wish I enjoyed it. I wish I liked it. I wish it didn't bring me out of the sex moment.
One more question around fetishes. This one is funny. Can you have a person fetish, or is that just an obsession then?
I think you can fetishize people. You know, you can fetishize people of different races, people of different genders, of different sexualities. But I don't know if that's the same thing. I don't know if, I just don't know enough to answer, I don't think.
Okay. All right. We'll Google this. We will go into the rabbit hole of Google to find this out.
Yeah.
All right. We're going into our next segment. We talked enough about fetishes here. So we did some prep work here. And when we did our prep work, we saw that there a monthly amount of 4,000 people who look for Reed Amber porn.
Oh,
and
hello.
OnlyFans. Yeah. So can you like explain a little bit more there? OnlyFans account. Yeah. The stage
Amazing.
Is yours.
So I am a proud sex worker. I've been in the sex industry for the past 10 years. I started wanting to create my own porn and filming porn. And as I got into the industry, which was freelance, I also did webcamming at the same time. So I've done every single role in the sex industry. Like I've done from, you know, from running, camera operator, script writer, editor, director, but also on the front of the camera, I've done like, yeah, webcamming, phone sex. I've done full service sex work before. My speciality is doing foot meets and yeah, people worshipping my feet, which is incredible because it's like, you want to pay me to massage and worship my feet? Okay, let's go. Like, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And through the pandemic, I got an OnlyFans account. I came off of webcam because it's exhausting. Webcam is honestly so exhausting, and got an OnlyFans account. And yeah, that was really successful. The only thing I think what people are searching for is the leaked content. People fucking love leaked content. Yes. They love that more than actually just, you know, like paying me, for God's sake. Like, come on, like respect me enough to pay for what you like. Respect anyone enough to pay for what you like. You see a film you love, go and buy it. Go to the cinema and see it. Like a restaurant, you go and eat there all the time. It's the same with porn. It's the same with what gets you off. Pay tribute to the people you love, because then they'll just keep making more.
Yeah.
And better stuff, you know? There's always an ethical issue when it comes to porn. But as much as I don't love OnlyFans and their company as a whole and how anti-sex work they are, how not supportive of sex workers they should be, I really appreciate how they've cut out the middleman and they've really put fan to creator in such a small space. That's been really incredible.
Do you feel it's empowering to yourself, but also for us as females, that, you know, you're kind of in control by putting yourself out there?
Yeah, I mean, anything that I'm doing for my body, that's for me, is empowering. I've used sex work as a real expression of who I am, and I see it as art. I see it as me being fully me, regardless of what anyone else thinks. Mm-hmm. It's, again, it's not for everyone putting themselves naked online, because you have no control over, once it's out there, what people might do with that content. It has given me so much confidence. It has made me feel whole. It has made me feel like complete. Not only do I get the ego boost, but I also have real conversations with people. I'm really helping people with understanding their fetishes or kinks, or making them feel a bit more human. And I love that interaction. I think there's like a real divide between sex worker and client that shouldn't be there. You know, we shouldn't be seeing clients as just money makers, cash cows. Mm-hmm. I think that's really unfair, even though stereotypically they can be quite disrespectful, and that can give you a real bad idea of clients. But I believe that we should be treating every client as a human, and until they disrespect you, then have respect for them. You know, like, they are human beings. They are coming to you because they enjoy your content and they love your stuff. And I just, because I used to hear it a lot in the industry. I just used to be like, oh, they're gross. This is disgusting. Like, oh, what an idiot, you know? And it's heartbreaking to hear. Like, these are people that are paying for your fucking rent. Mm-hmm. So yeah, trying to change the way that sex workers think about clients. For sure, if someone disrespects you, if someone's horrible, if someone's nasty, you just completely cut them out. Explain to them why, cut them out. Yeah. There's no point being nasty back. Doesn't get anywhere. But just giving these, not treating everyone like a goddamn pervert. I think, like, we're all fucking perverts. At least these guys have the decency to want to pay you for it, you know?
But are they real pervert? Like, from all of the customers that you have, what percentage would you deem as perverts?
All of them and none of them. I feel the term pervert is just like, is a bad word that can be turned into good. Like, I'm a motherfucking pervert. Like, I'm a sex pest. I'm everything under the sun. And I enjoy that. I own that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there are maybe what you would, the stereotype.
Disrespectful perverts.
Yes, the disrespectful perverts. The ones that are like, But even then, I honestly genuinely think a lot of them aren't trying to be disrespectful. They're just clueless, you know? They just don't know how to talk to somebody. And they see sex workers as, well, you're putting hot content out there. So clearly, I've already got this idea in my mind that you want to fuck me, that you want to see my hard dick without consent, that you're ready to just drop everything and talk dirty to me. Like, hey, slut, show me your tits, you know? That's the kind of, even then, I can't really hate people that do that. I used to get really angry about it. It's not good for me to get angry about it. It's just, I really pity you for not having the tools to be able to talk to women, to be able to see that I'm a human. I mean, that's taken a lot of learning, and it's so easy to get angry at people. Like, I still get angry at dick pics. I still get frustrated, but not in the same way as I used to, where I'd be disgusted and I would be like, fuck you, fuck men, this is bullshit, you all need to change. Now I'm like, oh, actually, can you just not send me a dick pic? Or can you ask first? Yeah. Especially in the dating game. I'm always like, I would prefer to be asked before you send me anything. And they're like, oh, okay.
Did you retract the photo and then they ask you and then like, yeah, sure. And then you send it again?
Yeah. I mean, no, by then, if they've already broken that boundary, I'm like, I'm not really interested. Yeah. Unless they profusely apologize, they really have to like make it up to me for me to give them a second chance. That requires a whole new self-awareness of, oh my God, you are so right. I shouldn't have done that. Like, please, please forgive me. Here's a picture of a dog instead. And then don't repeat the offense. Come on, you know, just don't do it. But I think that would be a massive red flag for me, especially in the dating game. If it was a client, yeah. I'd be like, okay, sure. Yeah. They want to be suspended in the horn sexy belief. Fair enough. That's fine. With dates, I'm like, dude, why the fuck are you sending me a video of you fucking another person without asking? Like, I don't want to see that. Come on, man.
They do that?
Yes, I had that recently, yeah.
Yeah, why? They think do they think that will turn you on?
Yeah, I genuinely think they do. This person in particular was someone who really did role play around CNC. So I think they were showing me to kind of show what the play could be like, which I kind of see. But I did say like, oh, next time, can you ask me if I want to see a video? Like, yeah. They're like, oh my God, you're so right. Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Because it's really hard. Himself. It's really hard putting down your boundaries like that. Because it's really hard to phrase it. But now I've kind of become hardened to it. And I'm just like, it's like, dude, what the fuck? Why would you do that? Or if they're communicating like a child, I did this the other day. I was like, the way they were communicating was so bad. And I was like, how old are you? And they said their age. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that explains it. This communication isn't working for me. Like, I'm done. I'm moving on somewhere else. Yeah. But it's hard. It's hard to do that. Especially as a woman, it's hard to put boundaries down as a woman.
Oh, definitely.
We normally are the yes animal. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. Or
yes. Okay, okay. And inside you're like, no.
Sorry. I do have a question. What triggered you to want to be in sex work in the beginning? Because you mentioned just now you've tried all sorts of different sex work. And now you're on OnlyFans, you're on YouTube, you also do education. Like, what inspired you to start in the beginning?
I think I've always been sex obsessed. Always, ever since I was young. And I think that kind of created this idea of who I was and what I wanted to be and what I was interested in. My mum brought us up believing like, just do what you enjoy. And that was the best advice I could have been given. So when it came to doing sexual stuff, especially when it came to work, even though she was like, oh, I don't think you should be doing that, I was like, I really feel this deep down. Like, this is who I am. Took a lot of figuring out and learning. And I knew I wanted to put nude images of myself online, like Tumblr days. I was posting so many nudes of myself and loving it, but still keeping it a secret because no one really knew about it. No one really accepted it. I was going to be seen as like a slut or attention seeking. When I went through university, I did television production. And I was just like, I just want to make porn. Like, I just want to film and create and make porn. Like, I love porn. I think it's beautiful. I think when there's a huge gap in the market, the type of porn I'm watching isn't necessarily the type of porn that like I want to make. And I tried the normal job stuff. Like, I worked at the BBC and for Channel 4 and did all the TV shit. And I was like, this is just not me. This is just doesn't feel right. And then really, as I was, I nearly got kicked out of uni because I did work experience. Everyone had to do mandatory work experience. And I did mine in the porn industry, did 2 weeks work experience, and they flipped out. They were like, we are not accepting this. Because it was mandatory, if I didn't do another 2 weeks somewhere else, I would have like failed the unit.
What was the work experience that you gave to uni?
Oh my God, I emailed a bunch of UK porn studios and I got a response back from like a really amateur, like bondage, fetish, niche fetish company. It was in Guildford, and it was little, like, you know, 21-year-old me going and filming really extreme fetish porn. We're talking like fisting, sounding, which I'm still super interested in ever since then. Sounding is, it used to be a medical procedure where you would have these, talking extremely tiny metal dildos, they would put it down your pee hole. For a woman, for a man, for non-binary, anyone, down your pee hole. They stopped doing that for medical reasons, and now it's sort of like big in the fetish scene, is stimulating your pee hole like crazy, and they go up in different sizes as well, so you can make them bigger or smaller. And fascinating. But yeah, I was just doing crazy stuff, and I just remember being like, I love this. This is so exciting. So like I love every moment of this. And from there, yeah, just that kind of like catapulted my time in the porn industry, and ended up working with some fucking big dons, like big giants, like Brazzers and Mofos and Fake Taxi. I mean, they're big because they're like the porn hub. The typical shit you see on Pornhub that now has changed because Pornhub has changed all their shit up. But yeah, it was good. I learned a lot. I learned a lot in a very short space of time. Just wish it wasn't as tough sometimes. Like, it was, I never had a solid job. I always did freelance from the get-go. If only I knew now what I did back then. I think it would be different. Shit would be different. Because also I faced a lot of sexism being a woman in porn industry. I remember a really weird conversation I had with one of the bosses, and he was just like, you can't edit. Why do you think you can edit porn? And I was like, wait, what? Like, why can't I edit porn? And my excuse at the time was, oh, but I'm bisexual, so I'm going to be seeing what a man wants to see as well. And he bought it. But really, I should have been like, wait, what the fuck? Why couldn't I edit the same as a man? Insane.
My fuck, yeah.
Yeah,
amazing that even the sexism, it flows through in this industry. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But I do really love and respect that you stayed so close to what your feelings, actually what you like, what you don't like, and actually also your mom encouraging you. I love that.
She was always a bit cautious, you know. It's like, mom, I want to be a topless model, and she's like, really? Like, oh, mom, I want to do porn. Oh, I don't know. But she would never tell me no. It would be like, you know, I guess you can do that if you want to. I can't tell you not to. And then now I'm just like, why did I wait so long? I found my calling. I love being naked. I love getting money for being naked. I enjoy it so much. It's such like, it's, I mean, everyone enjoys getting money for doing the things that they enjoy doing, but just like, there's just like this whole, and it's also naughty, and not that many people do it, and people frown upon it and dislike it. And I'm there and I'm just like, fuck, well, that's fine by me. This is why it's so lucrative. Like, I'm loving what I do. And it's really interesting learning your boundaries around that as well. Like, how far you're willing to go, what you're willing to try. I mean, I just say, never say no to anything, try anything once, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Good fun. Definitely stuff I've ticked off my bucket list. Fuck me, I can't speak today.
Yeah, that's really amazing and admirable. Like, I feel like just even being able to like talk to your mom about it, or even be upfront with your mom about like you being in this industry, is just like super amazing. I do have another question. On your Instagram handle, it says sex, nudity, and mental health anti-shamer. Like, where did that line? Well, obviously, sex, nudity, mental health, anti-shamer. Where did that come from? Like, how did you get here?
So, I mean, sex was my whole life. Yeah. And nudity was a big part of that as well. And I growing up, just realizing that people just didn't feel the same way that I did when it came to sex and nudity. And then later on in life, when I went through my mental health crisis and I finished university and I had severe obsessive compulsive disorder, severe anxiety and depression, and went on my mental health journey through amazing therapists. And I still see a therapist every single week today. because I fucking love therapy. I think everyone should do therapy. I think they should do it once a week. I don't think it should be a course. It is honestly so life-changing, especially if you have a mental health issue like anxiety, OCD, like
but everybody has a mental health
everyone issue does. Like, we are not,
everybody has anxiety.
We're not aliens. We are human, and it happens. And seeking help is honestly the best and most strongest thing you could do as a person. I fought it for years, and I wish I didn't, because it got me in a worse hole. And once you get, it's almost like you're digging a hole with your mental health. If you dig far enough, it's just going to take you even longer to build a ladder to climb out of it. So as soon as you start feeling a little bit like, oh, I'm not feeling myself, go and seek professional help. It's actually even better before you get into a deep, dark hole. Just seek professional help anyway. If you want to unlock your mind, and if you want to learn more about yourself and the way where you think and why you do things the way you do, it's fascinating. I'm so fascinated by it. But mental health already comes with a bunch of bad stigma. So I decided when I, you know, talking about sex work, talking about doing a lot of modeling, there was so many mental health issues surrounding that. And I just didn't want to be another person online pretending that everything was amazing and hot and sexy and beautiful. I thought that was really damaging to a lot of people. It was damaging to me watching it. So I wanted to make sure with my social media and with whatever I do, I talk very openly about where my mental health's at, about the help that I've had. About like some days I'm on cloud nine and other days I feel shit and I can't get out of bed for 4 days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to go back to your last question about, you know, why I became a sex worker or in this realm, I had an ADHD test because I was going through hell and I couldn't figure out what was happening. And I don't have ADHD, but they did say that I had something called cluster B personality traits, which is a part of a bunch of personality disorders. And one of the personality disorders that really spoke to me was something called histrionic personality disorder, where it is, I'd never heard of it before. It's in the same category as borderline personality disorder. And it's all based around sex and attention. You know, someone with histrionic personality disorder will wear revealing clothes, will be extra flirtatious in situations they can't be in, will maybe try and fuck friends, will maybe they want to be the center of attention. And I was like, oh my God, that's me to a T. So that could potentially explain why I'm in the space that I'm in, why I love what I do so much. When I got that diagnosis, I didn't feel great. I obviously felt really shit. There is so much negativity, and the way it's written online from what I saw was just horrible. I honestly felt like I was a terrible person after reading about this.
But Megan Fox has it.
Megan Fox? That's really nice.
I just Googled it. Kim Kardashian has it as well.
Oh, wow.
Megan Fox, Kim Kardashian, Jessica Simpson, Miley Cyrus, Kanye West. I don't know if we want to be put in the same bucket as Kanye, but...
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that Megan, one. Also,
all the hotties.
So I heard... Amber Heard apparently has it, which also set me back. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm an Amber Heard. But trying to change that thought process around it and not seeing it as a negative, bad thing. So I wrote a list of like all the good things that I've got from it, like my career, like the fact that I can talk to anybody, any stranger, like I can pick up the phone and it doesn't worry me. I enjoy spending time with other people. I'm the most sociable one in the room.
Yeah.
So that took me a long while, but it could explain why I'm in the place that I'm in. And that isn't a bad thing either. You know, it's like part of me. It's part of my personality.
If you can give three symptoms of what's called histrionic personality disorder, what would that be?
So the three symptoms that stand out to me, and this is kind of like a moment for dummies, to be able to have histrionic personality disorder, you're supposed to tick off, I think, at least five of these traits. Out of like seven or eight of them, I think, and they're supposed to really negatively impact your life. I don't think I have histrionic personality disorder because I'm super high functioning. So the main one for me that spoke out was it wasn't that you want attention. It was that you feel uncomfortable when you don't get attention. And that is for sure motherfucking me. I will recoil. If somebody else is getting more attention, I will literally be like, I will feel shit. I will like shut down. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go. Like I'm done. Yeah. It's so interesting. And I only recognized this recently after getting this diagnosis. Another trait would be overly flirtatious and sexual around people that they shouldn't be. And I have been in so much trouble at school, so much trouble with work. I nearly got fired from work because of like saying inappropriate things. And me just not even recognizing they're inappropriate. That's what's the crazy part is I had no idea. People with these disorders generally don't actually know they have these disorders. They go and seek help for other things like anxiety and depression, maybe even OCD, and then they get diagnosed with them after. I had no idea I was being overtly sexual. I just thought it was funny. I thought, oh, I'm getting attention from people. They're laughing, you know, they're enjoying what I'm talking about. And then obviously taking it too far and saying like really outrageous stuff and really offending people. I think another one is wearing overly like sexualized clothing. This one I have a problem with. I mean, I have the whole term histrionic personality disorder is fucking problematic because it comes from the term hysteria and mainly women are diagnosed with it. And I was thinking, yeah, Kanye's on that fucking list, but like men don't really get diagnosed with it because it's probably acceptable for them to act in this way. But when a woman does it, oh no. You have a disorder. Send you to the fucking asylum, you know? So yeah, I wear really, like I would rather be naked all the time if I could, but you know, it's England. So I'm in
and
a t-shirt.
Well, you can. Yeah.
If I want to show off my, you know, I wear really flashy, like striking, eye provoking clothes. There's a few of them in there. Some of them that didn't really relate to me. And I do think another one was like having sex with people that they didn't necessarily want to have sex with people because it's like attention. But I don't know if I do that.
But that would be half the population. Maybe I'm overgeneralizing right now, but there are so many.
I would fuck anyone. But then again, thinking about it, if I'm really going into the deep psyche of it, I'm dating at the moment. I'm freshly single from about a month and I'm dating. And the way I've always seen sex is fuck first, date after. So maybe there is something in there. You know, it's always possible. I mean, I will speak to my therapist about it because I just find this stuff fascinating. I don't ever want to shame myself for doing something. But the defense mechanism of me not wanting to actually hang out with someone and spend time with someone, but like want to fuck them. And if I don't fuck, then I feel like the date's wasted or unsuccessful. Then yeah, it could definitely be part of the histrionic personality disorder. Oh, that's cool. That's fascinating.
Evan didn't even know about it. We're learning so much today.
Yeah.
All right.
It's great. It was big whirlwind for me at the beginning of this year. I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm a nymphomaniac. I'm crazy.
Also being cautious of time right now because we're a little bit over and you probably need to go to your mattress and we also need to go back. Yes. We're gonna end with four questions and it's just like a quick Q&A. We'll ask you one thing and then you can just answer whatever comes to your mind.
Okay. All right. Amazing.
One, what is your favorite vibrator?
Oh, fuck. My wand. My Doxy wand. Absolutely.
What your favorite OnlyFans account and who are they besides your
own? Oh, fuck. I can't remember their name, but it's this amazing couple that I found via Pornhub because Pornhub now are only with real people, real couples, real content creators. And I pay for their OnlyFans account because they're this gorgeous couple and they do a lot of like tickling videos, a lot of bondage, a lot of like teasing and sensual, but they're so clearly in love with each other. And yes, I absolutely support.
Two tips for women who want to feel empowered.
Ooh, two tips. Take photos of yourself naked. They don't have to be with anyone. Like they don't have to be for anyone else's eyes. Take nudes of yourself. It's not easy. It's a skill you have to learn. You have to practice to do it right. But take photos within those nudes, take photos of the parts of your bodies that you don't like, the ones that you have hang-ups over, the parts of your body that you don't often see. So for me, I don't really see my butthole. So in my nudes, I try really hard to see my butthole and like talk to it and tell my butthole that I love it, you know?
Oh my God, that's another challenge for tonight. A very uncomfortable challenge.
Yeah,
actually,
because difficult. I need to nipples, okay. Vulvas.
Nipples is okay, but
tummy. Tummy's a good one. You know, not trying to suck in and look super like tight and perfect. Having a nude where you just look nice and relaxed and your tummy is just out looking all sexy, honestly. And you do that enough and it will change the perspective of how you see yourself.
Yeah. What are the tips you would give to young Reed?
Oh my goodness, young Reed. Go to a therapist sooner. It will change your life. Stop beating yourself up. Oh my God. Stop like harming yourself. Stop the language that you tell yourself. Stop telling yourself that you're pathetic, you're an idiot, you're a bad person. Change that language. Actively change it, because changing that language makes you believe it yourself. Stop that inner critic. You know, just love yourself. Give yourself a fucking break. If you need to chill out, chill out. You don't have to work yourself through the bone. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You don't have to like see people if you don't want to. Just chill out and just give yourself some love. Give yourself a goddamn cuddle.
Wow, really, for president? Seriously.
If people want to know more about you, want to follow you, want to ask you anything, what do they need to do? Or want to follow your OnlyFans account?
So come find me at Reed Amber X. That's spelled R-E-E-D Amber X. That's Instagram is probably my main platform. I'm posting every day on stories, and I'm posting most days on my feed. I'm on TikTok now, trying to do the TikTok thing. What the fuck is that about? Twitter.
We're all doing.
And of course, my OnlyFans. I have two OnlyFans accounts because I'm a greedy bitch. I have one which is Reed Amber X, same as my handles. I'm Reed Amber X everywhere. And then the second account is for my foot fetish lovers. So it's called onlyfans.com/readfeetandmore. And you can find all the links on my link in bio in Instagram, but mainly on my Twitter. My Twitter, I'll post like semi-racy content, stuff that Instagram won't allow me to.
Nice.
But yeah, okay. Come check me out. Come say hi. Yeah. Oh, and I do customs as well. If you have a fetish, if you have a kink, I do customs. Just DM me and I'll get it started.
It might be us.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be like the pimple popping and like the runner's feet porn. I'm into it.
Exactly. Tonight immediately in a request. All right, cool. Thank you so much. This was such a nice podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. You're two incredible people doing an incredible thing. I honestly love the O Collective so much. And it was such a joy and a treat to meet you in person at Sex Talks as well. So yeah, thank you for having me on.